I read this occasionally. I read it because it has a great meaning. A lot of people don't, they don't quite get a hold of it. Let's read just a little bit from Isaiah 60th chapter, the first verse, first couple of verses maybe. And then we'll move over to the book of Revelation. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. Now, why does the Lord say arise? What does he mean, arise? The Bible said they that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. Therefore, if God has called us from the death of trespasses and sin, then that means that we should arise. We've received the call. Though we are among those people, yet we are not numbered with those people. And there is a voice that says, arise, 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 arise and shine. Not only does he say arise, but he tells us to shine. Why does he tell us to shine? Because we have the wisdom of God. The Bible said that the wisdom of God maketh the man's face to shine. Arise and show forth your wisdom of God. Arise and shine. Arise and be a light. Arise and say something in the behalf of Christ and God's kingdom. Arise, arise and shine, he said. For thy light is come. Thy light is come. When did our light come? At Calvary. Jesus rent the veil that the light might shine. That is to say, he took away my intellectual side of life, and he took away my natural side of life, my unbecoming side of life. He rent the veil of my natural life that had covered the wonderful light of his glory or his life on the inside. God instilled within Adam a great light, and then when he fell into the veil of human reasoning, or intellectual darkness, that is to say, when Lucifer infiltrated his flesh, then the light, which was the life of God, went into a veil. It's obvious that that's what it was, because the Bible said this light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And it said this life was the light of men, or this light was the life of men. So it's obvious that God has rent the veil at Calvary, and since he has rent the veil, we have become the light of the world. So then he said, arise and shine. Why do you hide your light? Brother Taylor sings a song, I've got a little light, and I'm going to let it shine. Why do we hide the light when God tells us to arise and shine? Not just sit back and idle our life away and make no effort to do anything for God and just become gluttonous toward the natural side of life. But the Bible said, arise and shine, arise and shine, for thy light is come, for thy light is come. You've got a light now. Thy light is come. The Bible said at the midnight cry, there was a cry given at the midnight hour. Well, there was a cry given, the midnight cry, and the voice said, arise and shine. Or the voice said, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. That is, arise and shine. Arise and shine. If you've got a light, there is a call, the midnight call. There is a call, and that call says, arise and shine. So then he says here, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel no different. Well, if you don't feel no different, that means the glory of God has not risen upon you. But the glory of God has risen upon you. I feel different myself, because the glory of God rose up upon me. So arise and shine, because the glory of God is risen upon thee. Not only upon thee, but he has poured out of his grace, of his spirit, of his power, of his blessings upon all flesh. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That is, behold, intellectual powers and intellectual reasoning and intellectual confinement authorities shall have dominion over the people. Intellectual loaning and desire, intellectual reasoning shall control the people. The people shall become educated in the schools and the colleges, which is called darkness. All of that side of life, all of that human reasoning. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, a great education, and you call it darkness? It is darkness. All education is darkness. The Bible teaches it's darkness. If you want to dispute with God over it. All education is darkness. It is human reasoning. It doesn't matter how much you excel in this world. It doesn't matter how intelligent it makes you. You are in darkness. And the more you learn, the darker it is in your world. So then it says, and gross darkness shall cover the people. The people shall be more intellectual, and the people shall be more carnal-minded, and the people shall be more natural-minded, and the people shall be given more to the natural things of life, which is darkness, and they shall be in utter confinement and the deepening darkness of man's intellectual reasoning. So it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. You say that, but I don't believe that. No, I didn't say that. The Bible says that. I'm up here. I'm not up here telling you something for you to look back and say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. The Bible said that. I'm only telling you what God said. God said, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. As far as I'm concerned, that settles it. If God said in the day that his people would arise and shine, then in that day that darkness would cover the face of the earth, as far as I'm concerned, no matter what anybody says, darkness is covering the earth. All right, it says, and gross darkness the people. I'm not only convinced that darkness is covering the earth, but I am thoroughly convinced that darkness is covering you and every other individual that is not born of God, and that the reason that you wrestle against me or the ministry or God's way of life is because you are creatures of darkness and walking in darkness, and that's why that we have to wrestle with you when we go to present this great light. And so then darkness is covering the people. I'm thoroughly convinced that darkness is not only covering the earth, but every individual in the world is walking in darkness except those that have been born of the Spirit of God. Rich, poor, educated, whatever, they are creatures of darkness. And the Bible said they are in darkness because they are blind. The reason that a blind man is in darkness is because he cannot see. They are in darkness because the Bible said Lucifer, even the prince of this world, even the king of the bottomless pit, even that power of darkness has blinded their eyes that they cannot see. They are blind and they cannot see, therefore they are in darkness. I might have been saying, well, Brother Pike, I'm not blind, like Jesus said to some one time. He said, you're blind, you can't see. He said, you mean to tell me that I'm blind? He said, you're blind and you cannot see. Therefore, if they are blind, they are blind to the things of God. They are blind to the world of light. They are not creatures of light. They cannot dwell in the light. They cannot live in the light. They cannot enjoy the light. The light is vexing to them, and they have to get out of the light, away from the light, because they are not creatures of the day. So then it says, in gross darkness the people, for the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. See, the glory of the Lord is upon thee, he said. Said it shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Like Paul, the great leader of the church and the great overseer of the church, it was said, Paul quoted the scripture from the Old Testament, it was said that I have set thee to be a light to the ends of the earth. In other words, I have made thee a light to the end of the earth. I've set thee to be a light to the end of the earth.
Ye are a light, Paul, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the world. So then thy light shall be seen, and the glory of God shall rise upon thee, the Bible says, and your light shall be seen throughout the world, and all of the kings of the earth, and all of the great men of the earth, and all of those that are out there will come to the brightness of the shining of your glory. Whereas it reminds me of a dream that Brother Smith was telling me about yesterday, I believe, or today. He said his wife had had a dream, and in the dream that she saw a huge ship that God had given us, and it was numbers of stories, and it was a great ship, a huge ship, maybe like she's never seen, and said that from the ship she seen a bridge going over like this out into the world, and said this bridge reached from the ship over to the world, and all of the world was coming to where we were at. All of the world, he said, was coming over this bridge to where we were at, and the brethren was just loading the ship down with wonderful things. Just loading it down, and all of the world was coming. See, that agrees with the Bible. And arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the kings of the earth and all of the people of the earth shall come to the glory of thy light. Now, why will they do that? Why will they come to the glory of that light? Because they are out yonder in the darkness. Those people are out yonder in the darkness. See, they are creatures of the darkness, and they are in the darkness. And among those people are those that belong to God, that are the elect. And when they see this great light shining, they will come to the multitudes. And the Bible said, all nations shall say, we have forgotten God. Let us go up to the house of God, and he will teach us of his ways. That is, they're going to see the glory of God. Now then, when we look around, we don't see the glory of God. We see the things of the world. We see the glory of the world because the glory of the world is out there. Jesus told him one time, he was over there praying, he said, could not you watch with me just 1 hour? He said, don't you have the perseverance? Don't you have the strength? Don't you have the desire? Don't you have the ego, the ambition, the care, the concern to watch with me just 1 hour? Just 1 hour while I'm trying to pray? See, there in the darkness, as we would say, or there they were blinded to the things of God, and while Jesus was praying, they were hard and fast asleep. So then we see the world out yonder, and the world is all ready to do something. They are like the little story that we refer to a lot of times about Cinderella. And they are like the bewitching thing that we speak of concerning Snow White. The world is a bewitching situation. Paul said one time, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? And the bewitching situation is in the world. And because of the bewitching situation, that they cannot see the light. You know, the old thing was, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror of the world always answers back, you worldly people. You're the ones that's got the refineries, you've got the Rolls Royces, and you're the ones that's got the money and the pattern, the paint, and you're the one that can look pretty, and you're the one that can put on the jewelry, and you're the one that can really put on the dazzle and the sparkle. You do. But one of these days, the glory of God is going to break out in the church, and it's going to break out with the children of God, and that wonderful change that God speaks about is going to begin to show, and the light of God's glory is going to begin to be seen on the church, and that bewitching woman is going there to that mirror, and the world is going to say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And that voice is going to come back, God, Snow White. And she's going to have a spasm when that happens. But it's coming. Those bewitching Jezebels out there that's done everything but what God has asked people to do, and those that went with the world and become children of frolic and children of the world and sold their souls and their bodies for passions and everything else, one of these days God is going to reveal their corruption, and God is going to reveal the virtue of his Snow White. And you're talking about a wonderful, beautiful thing, but when the glory of God arises upon his people, that thing out there is going to be total darkness. You think everything's bright and shiny out there, but when God begins to reveal the beauty of the church, that thing is going to be total darkness out there. And you're going to realize just how dark and just how wretched that thing really is. You know, it's getting worse all the time. They tell me these hippies and different ones that's putting on the shows, that's drawing the multitude of the boys and girls and whatever. They've done got away from their rock and roll and pretty sparkling shirts, and they done got demon possessed till they're vomiting and spitting up blood and beating people in the heads with their instruments and tying them up and throwing them out in the audience and just gone crazy. Already, see, the devils and demons are beginning to take them over. They wanted that side of life, and so they got that side of life. Arise and shine, for thy glory is come. I know that when we speak of this wonderful glory, what it is in the sense that you should arise, that you should shine, that you have this glory of God upon you, I know that you don't understand, and I realize that. And like last night, as we talked about some of this wonderful thing in detail, speaking of the wonderful things of God in detail and talking about the wonderful things that God is doing in the Spirit, people were stirred last night. The group that was listening was stirred last night, because we get into the deep depths of the wonderful mysteries and the wonderful glory of God. We go into the glory of God, just like when Jesus transformated from this world into that great, wonderful place, standing on the mountain, he appeared in glory. And as we begin to transformate and we begin to talk and we begin to change dimensions, we enter into that great, wonderful glory of God. See, a lot of people can be standing right there looking at you. Just like the disciples, they were standing there looking at Jesus, but they did not go where Jesus went. They did not enter into the place where Jesus was, but they saw him as he dimensionally entered into that glory. As he transformated into that wonderful glory realm, they watched him as he went into that great realm of glory, and they were staggered at this wonderful thing that they saw. Whereas Jesus was glorified, he was glistening, he was beautiful. Every part of his garment was spotless. And there he appeared in glory with Moses and with Elijah. Last night as we was talking, all of a sudden faith struck the heart of Brother Carl. And Brother Carl was sitting there and thinking upon this. And as we talked about it, it struck him. And I don't know his reactions. I don't know just exactly how it went, but something like like that, you know, and he hollered out, he screamed out, and for just a few seconds it looked like he was fixing to, you know, go up just like a rocket. And Carl told us a few minutes later, said he felt for a minute he was leaving. He said, I really felt like I was fixing to leave this world. I was going out of here. And you could tell the way he acted and the way that thing struck him that it was absolutely the truth. Because he was just making conversation and listening and all that thing, all of a sudden that thing hit him and hit his faith, and he just couldn't contain himself. He just felt like he was fixing to be translated. If you ever jumped in cold water, you know, just jump right in and take your breath? Well, that's just the way he did. He acted like something had swept by and that something that had just completely taken his breath. So then the Bible said, arise and shine, because thy glory has come. Now, I believe in arising and shining. That's why I go to India. That's why I go to the Carolinas. That's why I go to Mexico. That's why I travel around the different parts of the world, because I believe that I should rise up and shine, because I have a glory from God that should shine throughout the world, and the world should see this glory. For I've set thee a light unto the ends of the earth, or that is to the Gentile people, and I believe that we should take full advantage of it. We should arise and shine and let our light go throughout the world. And I feel that here on the home front, you as people, whether men, women, boys, girls, whoever's old enough to even understand anything at all, I feel that you ought to rise up and shine and be part of this wonderful operation that is set here for world evangelism. That you ought to be part of it. It doesn't matter how that you're part of it, whatever way that you feel to be part of it. You should be part of it in offering your efforts to this wonderful thing that God calls the church. And if you're not doing that, then you are living beneath a great privilege that God has given to you. And as a matter of fact, if you're not really making any effort, then you just don't have the light. That's all. But if you have that light, then you're going to be stirred up sooner or later, and you're going to want to do something for God. Somebody said, well, you're doing such and such a thing, and I don't feel that's my calling. And I don't feel to do that. I know that. I know a lot of you don't feel like it's your calling to help do anything. You ever notice that? Like somebody come to me one time and it was all upset and they wanted to do something. He said, you won't let me do nothing. I said, I've given you I don't know how many things to do. And everything that I've given you to do, you didn't feel that was your calling. You didn't feel like you should do it. Anything that has any effort to it, you don't feel like you ought to do it. I said, but nevertheless, I gave you something to do and you wouldn't do it. So they felt left out. See, there is people that they don't feel that anything is right for them to do it if it's going to take a little effort. If it's a matter of fame, if it's a matter of popularity, if it's a matter of giving them money, if it's a matter of supporting them in what they would like to do, then they feel like that's their calling. But if it takes a little effort on their part to do anything that might not glorify them in the sense of human praise, but it might reflect somebody else, they feel sure they're clear out of their calling. All of their plans is for themselves. Everything that they do is as selfish as it can be. And as a consequence of that, they never do anything for God. And they never really receive anything to their own benefit. Because all of their efforts are selfish. They're carnal minded, and all the things they do is to interfere with God and to hinder the cause of God, and they find themselves in a terrible circumstance. So then to arise and shine is to be part of what God is doing, and to rise and shine is to be willing to put forth a little bit of physical effort, exert a little bit of your strength, and take a little bit of your time away from the things of the world. I noticed that even though a lot of people don't feel that they're called to do anything for God and that their calling is not to do anything for God, they always have a feeling that they're called to make money and they're called to do the things that satisfies the flesh. And you know, when you really think it over, that's exactly the truth. Those people are not called for the things of God, and they're not called to rise and shine. They are called to go after the things of the world. They're called to be like the world, and they're called to conform to the world. And the Bible said these are ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God that made them. And these are they that are wandering stars that are interested in the things of the world, and that they are constantly trying to work out something to their own advantage. God hasn't called them to do anything. As a consequence of that, they don't do anything. But you know what? If you've got God in your heart and you've got the Lord God of heaven shining forth within your life, you'll do something because you want to do something, and you've got a hunger and a thirst to do something. See, but people that never do anything, it's evident that there is no hunger and thirst in their lives. When a man gets hungry, he'll look for a table. He'll look for some food. And if he isn't hungry, he isn't going to look for anything because he isn't hungry. If he gets thirsty, he'll look for a well. He'll look for some water. But if he isn't thirsty, he won't look for any because he doesn't have any desire for water or anything to quench thirst. And so then the Bible says, concerning the man of God, that the man of God, the woman of God, will hunger and they will thirst after the things of God. Not just the surface things of God, but they'll be looking for spiritual revelation. That reminds me, I heard today that Brother Terrell had written a book on Revelation. I don't know just what it is, but somebody was telling me that he was advertising it over the radio. They'll be looking for revelation, and they'll be seeking to get a hold of revelation, or they'll be seeking the spirit of revelation because they are hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And if they don't make any effort toward the things of God, then it's a proven fact that they don't have the nature of Jesus. So then I'm talking to those tonight that hunger and thirst, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Gross darkness is covering the people, and the people are becoming more ignorant and more ignorant and more ignorant. They're ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of truth. The Bible says they're ever learning. Did you know that their own educators in the colleges and in the schools, they say that it is a proven fact that people are going back to paganistic practices, and that the people are becoming heathens in spite of all of their efforts. Did you know that? Did you know their own educators say that they are becoming heathens in spite of all of their efforts to change it or to educate them? So gross darkness shall cover the people, and they shall go into total darkness, and the whole earth shall be filled with darkness, because the illumination of the great Holy Spirit that overshadowed Adam and Eve and is overshadowing the world today shall be lifted, and the blood shall come off of the seat of atonement, and because of that, the whole world will be in gross darkness. It's not very far away now. With the war and the things that's happening over in Lebanon, it is a positive proof that the end of the world is here. The things that's happening to the evangelists around the different parts of the nation, it's obvious that something is taking place. It's like our brother Jimmy Swaggart. Brother Jimmy Swaggart, I know, is beginning to be moved by God and stirred by God. And many of these evangelists that's been lighthearted, that's been charismatic, are beginning to get scared and beginning to get shook up. And I heard just recently that he really bore down when he come to preaching and began to preach hard. And I heard some things that he said also that was very strict and right down the line. And he told the people, said, I have got to preach it because God said preach it, and I'm in trouble if I don't preach it. So then it is a true fact that ministers are getting scared. They're beginning to get tore up, and they're beginning to try to press in to get close to God. And they're beginning to look for the truth because they know that they're going to answer to God for their foolishness. And many of them have carried on a lot of foolishness. So then they're beginning to grow up out of their childhood, and they're beginning to realize their responsibility, and God's beginning to call them to the greater things of God, and they're beginning to look around, and they're beginning to see things get dark around them, and they know that they've got to do something and do something in a hurry. So then we're told here by the prophet that we should rise and shine. Arise and shine. That is, do something. Don't just sit there. Do something. We need to arise and shine. I was just thinking today, in the place down here, the multipurpose building, we have people coming in, out, in and out down there in the ladies' department. It's just a place of traffic, and they're just making a big joke out of it down there. They're just anybody coming in when they get ready, and they go out when they get ready, and they do what they want to whenever they want to, and there is absolutely no system and no oversight over anything that's down there. And I was thinking today that we're going to stop some of that foolishness. Now, we're going to put somebody in charge of that that will listen and do what we ask him to do, and somebody that will stop the traffic and give us some production down there and the things that we're trying to do for God, and stop making a joke out of it, and to the extent that just anybody can come whenever they get ready and do anything that they want to do. You just can't go to the offices whenever you get ready, because that's as good as the devil wants us to get somebody down there that all they'll do is run their mouth and hinder the rest of them, or get them into some kind of conversation that's going to be injurious to the things of God and cause somebody to mess up in what they're doing. So we're going to set up a rule pretty quick, the Lord being willing, that you can't even go into those offices if you don't have some kind of name tag or some kind of ticket or something that you get from general information out here or from the securities, that you won't even be able to go into those offices unless you have permission to go into those offices, and you won't be able to come in and out the church just walking in here, messing around in the church, and the children coming in and out, the children going in and out the building and down through the printing rooms. All of that will be stopped, and you won't be able to do that unless you have some kind of permission. You know, it's like the The little nursery. I was talking to the sister today about the nursery. She says that God has inspired her to have the nursery. And we was discussing it with her today, my wife and I. And I made the statement today, and Betty and I have discussed this, that the nursery is not a place for babysitting. The nursery is not some place that some of you careless, unconcerned mothers can just, as the world says, dump your child and walk off and leave your child without any care while somebody watches after it. He said, Brother Pike, why do you use the word dump? Because that's what you do. The nursery doesn't take it as a dump. They're glad to get the little fellow to watch after me and that you don't care about him. But that's what you do to him. That's your way of putting it, and that's what your way of looking at it, that you want to get rid of the brat. Like sometimes some of them refers to some of my children or my children's children as brats. I said, we don't have any brats in this family. God does not give people brats, and he didn't give us any kind of a brat. The Bible said children are an inheritance from God, and they are not brats. When you get brats, you don't inherit any good thing, whatever a brat is. Certainly not good. Never seen one, but it couldn't be good from the way it's described. So then, the nursery, I told the sister today and Sister Betty, I said, they're just not going to go over to the nursery. I said, we've already got the thing worked out. We just haven't pressed the issue because we haven't had the right facilities. I said, but they're just not going to go over to the nursery and leave their children. Bethlehem's not a place for babysitters. If we want to do that, we just hire out children to somebody. They got places for that. This is the place to spread the gospel and to aid people that need aid when it comes to watching after their children while they do something for God. So then I said to the sister today, they cannot come over there unless they have some kind of a ticket, some kind of a permission or whatever from the general information of the security or the authorities. They can't even come by there and leave a child, because I purpose in my heart that when these authorities are set up and these things are done, that any authority violating that will automatically be relieved of their position. There won't be no argument with them. There won't be no dispute with them. If they cannot do what we ask them to do, they will be relieved of their position, and we'll put somebody there that will say, I'm sorry, you cannot do this unless you have a nameplate or permission or something from the proper authorities. Now, so then we're planning to do this and do this soon. If the Lord's willing, nothing happens. I want to take care of the multipurpose building better than have been taken care of in the past. I'd like to put some carpet or whatever's needful on the floors to make it nicer for the ladies and for their offices. And I'd like to have pictures of the different women sitting at their desk that it can be used in Harvest Herald to let people know about their work and their endeavors in Christ. And not only down at the multipurpose building, but wherever the person is taking a leading position. Now, I'd love to have, we have been putting the brethren's pictures in with a regularity. And that's wonderful, but we need to put the Christian people's pictures in the things that we're doing if we're going to project anything at all. It need not be one-sided. It should be, I ordain that this be a labor together, and every person that I put in office as a man, I put his wife in as a secretary to work with him or to help him. So then I feel that this is the big trouble in the world today. The man wants to do what he wants to do and go where he wants to go and say what he wants to say and know what he wants to know. And he doesn't want the wife to know anything about it or share anything with her whatsoever. And she has no business in his business until she finally gets a business of her own and she begins to be a busybody in other people's businesses. And she gets to be just somebody to drift from place to place, and she gets her own business and her own ideas. And the first news you know, the family's separated, or the gap gets bigger and bigger. When they were made to work together, and they were made to have a project together. My life has been with my wife. When I worked on a natural job, I worked the job around to where I could get something to where my wife and I could be together. And we was together for years. And when I went out into the ministry, my wife and I went out together. And when we go the seas, as a rule, we go together. When we work here at Bethlehem, we work together. We work together. Betty's trying to carry on part of it. I'm trying to carry on part of it. And we have the communications accordingly. And we are able by this to get the job done. Brother Taylor and Sister Linda works together. Ever since I've known Brother Frank Taylor, he and his wife have worked together. They've went places together. They've been together. They've done things for God together. And that's what's wrong with you right now. And that's what's wrong with your wife. You don't work together. The only thing that you want her to work together with you in is to satisfy the natural. And you say, you take care of this and you take care of this and I'll be this. And after a while, she gets to putting it together and she feels like, well, I'm left out of the things of God and he doesn't care about it. He's put me out here with the natural, so what do I care? I might as well just live it up and forget about him. If I'm going to have the natural, I'll just work it around to where I can get a good time out of it. I'm telling you exactly the way it is. Somebody said, my wife don't do that. That's because you ain't checked up close enough. I know evangelist not too long ago. He comes here. He's been preaching for you a number of times. He thought his wasn't doing that either. But when he checked up, he found out he was broke. He thought he had thousands of dollars, but she had taken the liberty and the pleasure of enjoying life. Since he left her out of the things of God, and she said that she wanted to work with him in the things of God, she decided that the women have got a little saying that I'll take him to the cleaners. And she did. So then I tell you that you need to work together. Now, down here at these offices, when women are in these offices, men cannot be in those offices working with the woman, nor can the women be in the offices working with the men. But they do have the privilege of communication, in that if I want to know anything, then Brother Taylor can tell his wife, and his wife can tell my wife, and my wife can tell me, or vice versa. That is to say, if anything is to come from one to another, so far as the woman is concerned, then it should come through a companion. If it is for the man, it should come through a companion. So then, if Frank goes to Linda, or Linda to Betty, or Betty to me, we can have a communication this way. Or Brother Taylor can come to me as a man, or Linda to Betty as a woman. But when it comes to me going directly to Sister Linda to find out the business, though we occasionally speak and we are together, all of us talking, I don't go directly to Sister Linda and say, get out the books and let's check this thing out. I don't like that kind of thing. I don't like it. My wife went not too long ago up here to the credit bureau to check something to find out what the complication was. And the man said, come in here and we'll sit down and we'll look at the books. You know, that's the way the world is. I said something about this the other night. But when you learn to work with your wife and you learn to leave the other woman alone, or if you learn to work with your husband and you learn to leave the other man alone, then you can get something done. You can get the job done. But as long as you're trying to put your wife off in the background and get to some other woman, or you're trying to put your husband off in the background and get to some other man, you're going to be just exactly like Eve was in the garden. And you're going to be exactly like those that played the harlot and those that played the whoremonger. You're going to be just exactly like them, because that's where it leads to. So then I say again, we have rules and regulations. It's like here on the campground, this is a little thing that comes to my mind. I have asked the men here not to ride the children on the back of trucks. I said, the little fellas will fall off and get killed. I said, I know of a grown man, a grown-up. He rode on the back of the truck, he flipped off, and it killed him. And I said, you shouldn't do that. But they don't pay any attention. They do it anyway. They do it anyway. And in doing it, it causes me problems, like a person over here across the street, living over there on the campground. I saw him today with three of their children on the back of a truck, and setting up on the edge of the truck and just bouncing and bobbling around, and they could have flipped off on their head any time. One of the other brothers saw it, and he saw more than I saw. He saw the little girl jump off and stand on the bumper and stick her foot down on the ground as she held to the truck. And he said, when I see the daddy, I'm going to say something to him about it. You know what will happen? Unless God undertakes, after a while, one of those children will be severely hurt. And you know what will happen then? They'll bring him to Brother Pike to pray for him. Or they'll say, Brother Pike, what did we do? Though I'm telling them over and over, and telling them every day, they don't pay a bit of attention to it. And it's the same way with some of you here that may not be children riding on the back of the truck, but it's numbers of other things. I'm telling you. But you pay no attention to it. Brother Richard Donalds came to me today and said, Brother Pike, said, I had a dream. And said, in the dream, three men was there before you as you was exalting us. And said, you said to these three men, and he called their names. He said, you said to these three men, and not either one of you saved. He said, you're not saved. He said, you do something at Bethlehem, or you come occasionally, you do something once in a while. He said, but that's not salvation. He said, you're not saved. He said, there's a lot more to it than just doing those kind of things. You know, somebody said, well, who is that? Who was that? That was you. It was you. He called your name. So you see, a lot of times we say, no, not me, but it could be. Like a brother told me yesterday, I don't see him here tonight, but he was telling me yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, he said he was sitting out on the bench here, we was preaching, he kept saying, ain't me, couldn't be me, I know it, it's not me. And said all of a sudden something struck him and something said, yeah, it's you. And he said it tore him up when he realized it really was him. So see, you'll never know. But anyway, getting back to our subject of arising and shining and doing something for God and exhorting you tonight, I want you to arise. I want you to shine. I don't want you just to be, you know, just any old way and any old thing. I want you to do something. If you've got a talent, then I want to utilize your ability for God. If you don't want to give it to me, that's fine. But I am an overseer of God's work, and I'm called to hire people and put them in the vineyard, and God said he'd pay them. He commanded me to hire them and put them in the vineyard, so there must be some people somewhere that will be hired or that wants to do something, or he wouldn't have sent me out to do it. So then I want to take you and utilize your ability. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I know what you want to do. You just want to use me. Yes, that's exactly right. I just want to use you. And if you'll let me, then I will use you. And as the song says, Jesus, use me. So then I'd like to use you for the glory of God, but I am not going to bother you if you don't want to be used. I'm not going to interfere with your life if you don't want to go God's way. And if you don't want to be a part of the kingdom of God, I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do. You that want to do something for God, I want to use you. If you have any calling, any desire, any ambition, I want to use you and do something for the kingdom of God. If you don't want to do it, that's all right. That's your business. So then I say again tonight that when we put these authorities there, we expect them to have some kind of oversight and some kind of concern. I get so tired. I'm downstairs and I hear something go bam, wham. And I get so tired of hearing things bam, wham, and people knocking things over and people dragging desks around. They're told they're not to even move a desk. They're not to even drive a nail in the wall unless they have permission. These walls don't belong to them. They belong to God. I've got people around here and they'll take a 20-penny nail or a 30-penny nail and they'll go to a nice wall and they'll beat it and bang it until it looks pitiful. Just to hang some little something that they thought that they'd like to have up there that they cut out of a comic book or that they cut out of some kind of a magazine. And nobody will say anything to them. The oversight won't say a thing to them, you know. They'll just laugh and giggle with them. But I'll tell you what, we're going to get some of the gigglers out and put some people in that's conscientious and serious-minded that wants to do something for God. So then, you don't have any right to move any desk. You don't have any right to shove things around and knock things over and invite people in to be in there that has no permission to be in there. Whether it's relatives or whatever. Somebody said, well, what if my daughter comes? What if my son comes? Well, come out of there and go talk to him on the grounds. Come out of the office and talk to him. Don't invite him in there to cause me problems. Nobody gave you permission to be in there yourself, let alone invite your daughter in there when you're that kind of person. You don't even have any business in there yourself. I want people in there that can forsake their relatives and forsake their daughters and their sons and different ones and keep their mind on God. I don't need a bunch of relatives in there. I'm not looking for that. Somebody said, but that's my son and my daughter. I know when Jesus spoke to the man about his father, it was his father. It was his dead father. And he wanted to bury him, but Jesus said, you don't have time to do that. So then if you want to talk to them, you leave and go outside and you talk to them. Somebody say, well, bless God, I don't believe it like that. Well, that's okay. You don't belong to the group anyway. Your heart's not right with God. You're in the bonds of iniquity and the gall of bitterness. You need to pray through. So then I'm telling you that I need people that are conscientious. I told a man just recently. Well, I've told him a number of months back, and I've told him again just recently. I said, you need to get your mind off of money. I said, and get your mind on doing something for God. And take a little time for God. I said, you're already having problems. Get away from it. Stop being such a glutton, so to speak. And get your mind off of the world and do something for God. I said, if you keep on, you're going to kill yourself. Well, of course, the feller doesn't do it. And of course, somebody come to me today and said, their little boy, I believe, had a dream and he died. Said, the same feller, he died. Now, let me tell you something. Don't come running to me and say, now, Brother Pike, I hope that wasn't me. Tell me, Brother Pike, that wasn't me. Just stay away from Brother Pike and don't ask me who it was. Find out from somebody else and let them tell you. See, I don't want to go around telling everybody they're going to die, this man or that man or whoever or whatever, unless God tells me about it and tells me what's going to happen. And a lot of times he does, and I try to tell you or talk to you, and you don't pay any attention to it. But I tell you one thing, you're not dead yet. So if you're not dead yet, you need to do something according to what I told you to do, and maybe you won't die. I might say, but if he's seen me dead, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. Well, I don't know. They saw my wife dead, and she's not dead yet, and that was many years ago. And I've seen others dead, numbers of them, and prayed and asked God not to let them die, and they didn't die. And there is such a thing as praying to God and asking God not to let it come to pass, and God won't let it come to pass. God will repent of it if you'll do something about it. But I'm going to tell you something, folks, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. But I'm going to tell you something. If you expect to do the way that you want to do and have your way in everything and just do it your way and not do it the minister's way and not have anything to do with what the minister wants to do, then you're going to be in trouble and God is not going to accept it. So you do whatever you want to do in the way you want to do it, you know, and that'll be it. We've had people here that when they wanted to give to somebody, they sent it to the people and they have their own thing going. And they still don't pay any attention to the system or the desire of the brotherhood to share with people. They still do it their own way. And if somebody comes a knocking or somebody comes a calling or somebody comes a begging or somebody writes a letter or somebody does whatever, you know, they do it their own way and they forget all about what we're doing here. That's all right. That's your business. Have nothing to say about it. It only means that you are excluded from the brotherhood and you're not part of this operation because we are trying to do things as a body, collectively speaking, for the glory of God. And when you do those things individually in your own desire, then that's you and God. That's between you and God. I'll not answer for you nor to God for you because you don't belong to me. But I'll answer to God for them that he has given me. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost to one of them. I'll answer to God for preaching the gospel to you, but not in having charge of you to keep you from the evils of the world. I want you to stand with me. The Bible said, arise and shine. Got a little song they used to sing. They still do sometimes. It's called, arise and shine and give God the glory. Rise up and shine and give God the glory. You know, God is still blessing us. As a matter of fact, Brother Atlee is right on the verge. He and Dwight are right on the verge of closing out the tower so far as finishing the work to have it to where we can record. It's just on the verge of being finished up. And thus far, what they have done plus the labor of others, it is a superb job. Brother Atlee has already run the wiring for the recording. So that means it's just a matter of hooking it up upstairs. And Brother Chuck and them has already got everything hooked up to the instruments. Well, that is to the recording instruments. And All they have to do is make the connection to the wires. The video part of it, to where they'll be able to sit inside of the tower and look into the studios. There's nothing pending on that except the wire, which will be well over $200, and they're ordering that to get the wiring for the tower. And then they'll be able, the engineers will be able to sit there and make professional recordings as at any other professional studio around the nation or the world. They'll be able to sit there and make professional recordings, and they'll be able to look over the video, see through means of TV, those that are down there in the studios, one on either side of the tower, and we'll be able to record stereo or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. We'll be able to record it there through the two studios. And we're planning to use some of the talent that God has given us. I know there's some here, musicians and whatever, and I'm going to try to find somebody that wants to be clean and holy and try to project them and their lives and their talents to the extent that they can let their light shine for the glory of God. And I'm going to try to be just as evasive as I can when it comes to entering into a covenant or conversation with anybody else, though they might have a supreme talent, a talent that is much better than anybody else. I don't want their talent, and I don't care for their talent, and I don't want to get connected with them in any way. Brother Floyd Owens and Brother Bill Cartridge put up the wallpaper or vinyl in the tower, and it is a wonderful job. It's excellent. I've been there and looked at it. Brother Atlee finished. He did not finish with the mirrors today, but he finished some of the work on the mirrors today. And it gives us the dimensional appearance on either side, in that the bubble windows this way gives us a dimensional of feeling or appearance, which makes it to be quite a big room for such a little room in the sense of feeling and operation. Everything is handy, it's cut in, it's set into the panel work, and it's just excellent in every way to where that we can really enjoy it. It is an efficiency in that you just have to move, just roll around on the roller pad just a little way and got everything at your fingertip. Whereas, as you very well know, that's also our little video operation for the campground. And though it's just sporadic, we don't get to operate much, we will if Jesus tarries more and more till it becomes a consistency. And we are fixed up, as I say so often, if we want to go out to the public, we've got professional equipment. And all we've got to do is run a line out to about Snow's Mill Road or out here somewhere and get the necessary papers and whatever and connect with it, and that'll be it. Hoping to have a little radio station up there for our benefit here, the brethren, and the reports of whatever's taking place among our people at all times to keep them posted, that we can have a greater union and a greater strength in oneness of mind. That is through the little TV effort and the radio and whatever. Whatever takes place out yonder that is of interest, have it in our little operation of the commentator and whatever. The mainspring of the whole thing is Jesus. And there's nothing lacking. As long as you've got Jesus, you've got salvation, then you've got everything. And you don't have need of nothing if you've got Jesus. But if you haven't got Jesus, you may have everything Bethlehem's got. And you may be as churchy as you can be, and you may feel that you're number one with God, but the Bible said you're blind and wretched, you're naked and you don't have anything at all. And though you say that you're rich and possess all things and have need of nothing, the Bible says that you are a wretched people. And such is the church world today. And little Bethlehem is no exception. Unless we love Jesus and walk with Jesus and take Jesus. Because all that you can have is nothing without Jesus. And if you have Jesus, then you have need of nothing because He is your everything. There's a song that says, He is my everything, He is my all, He is my everything, both great and small. So let's arise and shine. Let's group together. Let's do something for Christ Jesus. Let's find our place at Bethlehem and in the kingdom of God, and let's hurl this gospel around the world. And believing that the sister's vision is of God, as the people come over the bridge from the world to us, then let's do something about it. It's for sure for sure, this is for sure, that we are in more than every major language of the world and growing in such a rapid way as to the translations that we are reaching out into all the world. And people are being stirred, they are being moved about this ministry and about these things. So you pray. You pray that God will bless us just like the program on Big Gun. It's doubling. I don't mean the people. I'm talking about the money. I don't know about the doubling of the people. We do get good response from there. But the price of it is doubling. It's going to be almost or right at twice the amount of money per program that we've been paying. So that means that we've got to have more faith in the sense of operation or believe God in a greater way for these things. I want to say this. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. I want to say this to the little people. My little people have really been a blessing to me, and they have undertaken concerning the store and the different things in such a superb way until they are the ones that's responsible for the opening of the store. My mom said, oh, no. Oh, yes. The little trail that leads down to the store is a nice little trail. It's filled with small gravel and fixed to the best of our ability. It was little David Cartridge and the little helpers. I said, David, I want a trail down through there. He got his little helpers and he went out there and he went to work. And about that time, Brother Mac Duke came along and I asked Mac if he'd assist him, and Mac willingly did. And they made us a beautiful little trail down through there. You shouldn't stumble going down through there. If you be careful, even carrying your little baby or little ones, you shouldn't be able to go down through there without any problem. You just have to be careful. But maybe by tomorrow evening, the store will be opened up. People are buying groceries out of the house. I knew it would start in the house down there because it had to do with Joseph and the brethren. And my little Joseph was persistent. He never let up till those groceries was in the house, because it had to do with God. And after that, he went out like any other boy and began to play with the boys. But anyway, it started in our house, and Betty's been selling stuff down there. Some of the men have been working faithfully to get your coolers ready. As a matter of fact, the cooler that we brought out of Apalachicola that was hopeless is now a nice, beautiful cooler that'll take care of milk and cheese and all the different things that you need. By tomorrow, it should be running if the Lord's will and nothing happens, because it's already been restored. And there's a number of other coolers that different things was wrong with it, with them, and we had to restore them, and they're already restored. Most of them are already restored. And if the Lord will help us to get a three-phase operation down there in the way of converters such as we have for our press, then we'll be able to run the long cooler that we have for the meat. But anyway, it's working out real good. Had a little problem with the shelves, but Brother Johnny, I sent him over to Athens, and Dr. Wilson there has some shelves, and he said that these come out of a colonial store, I believe, and he says that he will let us have these or work with us some way on those shelves, which by that it may mean that tomorrow evening we could have those shelves. Brother Smith could paint those shelves, and we would be ready to put the groceries in down there. We're going to have to get some lights turned on down there. We just have a temporary light now, but everything's working out. Let me say this to you now before we close. I say this to you because this is part of the work of God. From our store, we try to help take care of the needy. We did in the past. And from our store, we try to help take care of those that's doing something for God, that's working with us. And we try to bring this thing down to a wholesale price for your benefit. Now, I make it convenient for you to just be here at home and get it. And I've got a feeling that this winter that you're going to be glad. But anyway, remember the script. You must purchase the script. We use our own script to glorify God. It's got the praises and honor of God on this script. And this script is our medium of exchange. It is passed the authorities. They approved it. And so it is our medium of exchange for our little world here at Bethlehem, or our little government here at Bethlehem. We're chartered and incorporated with the government just as any other government or any other corporation. And this government, of course, is the greatest government of all. This is the little stone that was hewed out of the mountain that'll grow till it fills all of the earth, and all the rest of the world will have to come to it, because it is the government of the Son of God. Now, so then, the government being upon your shoulders, in that you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, we realize that we've got a great responsibility to all the world.
Don't forget that you're supposed to write a list, ladies. Let your husband bring it to the men's meeting and the conference on Monday night as to what you want or what you desire in the way of your groceries. And in doing that, we try to compile the list by, to the best of our ability, that would be for your benefit. Otherwise, we cannot get what you would like to have until later, because it's going to take time to stock the store and to build the stock up to the place to where you can have what you would like to have. Now, don't forget, you're supposed to buy your script there at the men's meeting on a Monday night to make sure that you have what you want in the way of your groceries for the following week. Because this is not a benefit to God in the sense of us getting money. This is a benefit to God in the sense of you getting something. And it's very helpful to you. So you don't forget that. Now you be honest and straight with us and work with us and let us work with you. And we'll help each other and we'll work together. Remember, some people feel like, well, can I come and buy? Can I come and buy? Sure, you can come and buy. But you cannot come and buy unless you come and buy according to the rules and regulations. Now, somebody said, well, I just want to come down and get my groceries. Well, put you on a long dress when you come down to get your groceries. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in it. Well, I do. And what's the need of me putting a store out here to where I can take my ladies and my children and my menfolk away from the cesspools of iniquity if I'm going to let you come in and let you parade around? Somebody say, oh, me. Well, you say amen, it's all right. I just thought if you couldn't say amen, you could say, oh, me, and I could tell, you know, who to help. All right. Shouldn't have said it like that. But anyway, you need to get straight about the thing, folks. I don't intend to strain at a gnat and swallow a camel if I can help it. I don't intend to put something out here to where you can come out here and do what you want to and just do any old way and take part in these things. Now, I don't say anything to you. If you want to go to the world, that's your business. If you want to be part of the world, that's your business. If you want to act like the world, that's your business. But God's business is my business and the business of the brethren of Bethlehem. And as I say so often, and I made this very plain, the men's meeting, and I want to make it plain here at church, not to lord over God's heritage, not for filthy lucre, not to be mean, not to be haughty, but I want it understood that we do have rules and regulations for school, and it's going to be different this year, and we do have rules and regulations for the campground, and they are going to be enforced, and we do have rules and regulations for our operation, and for the store and the cafe and the little shopping center and all that we're going to put up here, whatever. We got all the stuff we need now for a cafe. And we do have rules and regulations. And we have no respect to person. You're welcome to it. You can have part in it. You can take part in it. And we'd be glad to have you. But you cannot take part in it unless you follow the rules and the regulations. You can't do it because that is what it is for. Okay, if that's not satisfactory, you need to write us a letter. You need to call us up. You need to tell us something. Because that's the way it is, folks. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. Some of the people, some of the evangelists, even preachers, some of the people, some of the women, some of the men, they have it in their minds that they're just going to come here and leave their children. And they're going to hit the trail, or them and their wives are going to hit the trail, and that people here are going to take the responsibility of their children and be babysitters while they hit the trail. And that Brother Pike's going to agree with it, that because some of our people are willing to go along with something like that, that they are going along with it, and that Brother Pike is going along with them. But let me help you right now so you don't get yourself in a snare. I am not going along with it. Now, we've got rules and regulations for those that enter into the school. My children have to abide by them. They're, all of my children would love for their children to go to this school. And they really have a fit sometimes because I don't let them do it. But they have to abide by it. You're going to have to abide by it. And when it comes to working in these offices and taking part in the church and the work of the Lord, you're going to have to be a Christian. Because if I find out you're not, then you're going to be excommunicated in the sense that you're not going to have a part in the work of God. Now, you can come to church. I'll preach to you. You're welcome to come here. We'll treat you with all courtesy, and we'll tell you about the love of God until you get right with God. But you are not a part of His operation. Now, the Bible said, let them that name the name of Christ are going to take part. Let them that bear the vessel of the Lord be holy. So then, this is the way that we see it, and this is the way we believe it. And I know that wicked men have crept in unawares. I'm aware of that. They've spied out our liberty, and they've tried to do everything they could to undermine it. And sometimes they get by with it like Judas did for a while. But after a while, we catch up with them, or it catches up with them. So you think on this now, folks. You think about what we're saying. And remember, if you're going to live on the campground, you're going to have to honor the rules and regulations, live for God, because sooner or later we're going to put you off of the campground if you don't do it. You're not going to stay on the campground and do your evil and expect us to put up with it and not put you off the campground. Now, we'll stretch like a rubber band to try to help you and keep you on you, but we are definitely not going to keep you on the campground. So you may slip in, but you'll have to slip right back out. If you love the Lord, say amen. If you got a complaint, we've got a men's meeting. If a woman's got a complaint, she's got a husband. She can complain through the husband at the men's meeting. If she doesn't have a husband, then she's got a friend. She's got somebody that is a friend, that is a woman. And all she has to do is communicate through that woman that's got a husband to the leadership, and that'll take care of it. Same way with a man, you may be single, but you've got a friend that's got a wife. And things can be worked out to your advantage. And soon it'll be where you can go right straight to the bank as a single man or a single woman and get your scrip or whatever. You can go right straight into the store and do the same thing, because it's going to be set up on those bases where the men and the women can go shopping and do what they want to, either together or separate, because there'll be departments and there'll be places. But right now you've got to work with me, folks, as the best we can to keep godliness and holiness and eternal life in our midst. A lot of women, they strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They'll see the preacher coming. They'll act real pious and run and hide and act, you know, like they don't see nobody. And they shy away in a meek way. And just as soon as I turn the corner and go around the other way, as I said before, here they are all mouth with somebody, just going with somebody's husband or some man, and he's going with them, you know. And there's some men that's the same way. When I'm around, it's altogether different. But as soon as I leave, they're all mouth with some of the women. I don't have any rules and regulations that women have to run and hide every time a man looks at them or walks across the campground. We don't have any such rules. We don't have any such rules that you are a devil to the woman and she is a devil to you and you can't get near her. We don't have any rules and regulations. We don't have any rules and regulations that a man can't speak to a woman and a woman can't speak to a man. But I do say that, as Paul said, he said, it's good for you not to even touch a woman. That is, you don't even need a wife, so far as a wife and a husband. You don't even need that. You shouldn't even have a wife and a husband, according to the gospel. You shouldn't even touch each other because of the sin of the flesh. But you should have it in the sense that God made you to multiply. Not in the sense of righteousness, but in that God made you to multiply and replenish the earth. And God made you in the to be holy, and the bed of the marriage is undefiled and all. God made you like that, and you should have a companion to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife. See, so we know that you should have your companion. But so far as the segregated thing, so far as staying away from each other in the sense of just talking and running your mouths and going on and staying around each other, you should stay away from the woman, and she should stay away from you. And when you're working, I know that you have to go in and out, and women are working in this department, and you go down the hall, or maybe you go through another department that's over here away from them. That's permissible. But the thing is, if the woman is working right here in the hall, and you're working right here in the hall, you need to get out of the hall, or she needs to get out of the hall. Or if she's working in this office right here, you don't need to get in the hall right there at the office and work right there while she's working right here. You need to get out of there, or she needs to get out of there. You need to stay away from her. That's pretty plain, isn't it, folks? Not hard to understand. Okay. So then we're not trying to be queer, quaint, mysterious people.
We're just plain human beings that want to do right and live for God. You don't have to run like a freak, you know, and be hypocritical, because that's the way you are when you do it, because the same ones that do it are some of the worst I got. Okay, let's sing a song together. A few months ago, I saw one of the men is standing here to my left, and his wife and some other women and men out there in the parking lot, and they were just going full force, and he knew better than to be out there, and she was the one that done it. She was the one that called it. She's bad about it. I've seen her numbers of times. She's got to bring somebody or violate it or do it. She's just bad about doing it. And that means when a woman does that, that if you'll just watch her, she's a bad woman if she keeps it up. She wouldn't do bad things unless she was a bad woman. So then if you are a bad woman, you're going to do bad things. And bad things is to violate the constitution of the Almighty God and the things that he tries to set up for our benefit. So let the men fellowship the men and the women fellowship the women. And let us be respectful and let us talk with one another and let us be godly and holy should we come together as couple with couple or whatever and sit down and discuss something. And let us not neigh after our neighbor's wife or the wife neigh after her neighbor's husband. Because God said, I'll visit for these things. Keep your thoughts clean. Be clean and holy. I spoke to my wife today about something. And I said, I want you to remember this, Betty. And I speak to you about the same thing. When a person comes around that promotes lust, and you can tell when they come around, you can feel it time they come around, man or woman. If they promote lust, you'd better kill it and get straightened out and straighten out quick, because those thoughts will send you to hell. It's all in your thoughts and understanding, folks. You don't have to get into your deeds. When it gets into your deeds, that's terrible. Okay, let's sing this chorus together. Once you get into the deeds of it, then it's judgment. When it gets into the thoughts, you're in danger. But you have a chance to correct it. But if it ever becomes deeds, then you can't correct it to the extent you have to go through the judgment first. Let's just sing this little chorus together now. I love him. Sing it with me. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing them again now. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, yes, I love you, Jesus. All because that you first loved me. And you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing this little chorus. We sing it every once in a while. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Gross darkness will cover the people. Folks, don't let it cover you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. Oh, how gracious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, we're gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. And when this battle is over, we're going to wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and a shiny crown. For when this battle is over, we're going to wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when that battle is over, we're going to wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Okay, let's just bow our heads together. You know, we come here for one purpose, beloved friend. And that purpose is to grow in His grace and knowledge, to talk about Jesus, to learn more about God, to learn more of His lovely lesson, His wonderful goodness. That's why we come here. Every night that we come into this place, it should be with the thought in mind that we're going to learn more about Jesus tonight. We're going to talk more about God tonight. And you know, though this was a little exhortation to you tonight to try to get you to do better and to think more about your responsibility, yet it is a true fact, folks, I long to come here night after night and just talk with you. Sometimes maybe not even hardly raise the voice, but just talk with you and get into the deep mysteries of the hidden wonderful things of Jesus. I long to do that, but I know that I can't do that unless the atmosphere's right. I say this so often. I talk with the fellows, and from there comes the wonderful anointing of God and the glories of the deep mysteries. When I come here, I'm expected to do something outside of that. I'm just expected to do something. If I come up here and just start talking with you, then you just don't understand. You just don't know. You don't receive it right. And you're still waiting for me to do something. You know, to say something. Or you say, when is he going to preach? And by that, it causes a problem. But if we could learn to come together as the people did in following Jesus, just to sit and listen and to long for the wonderful, wonderful truths of that wonderful invisible world, then what a great, marvelous thing it would be. I want you to slip your hands up with me now. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be here. It's good to feel His love and His grace and His glory. I think I'll ask Brother Atlee Beach to come up tonight, if you will, and dismiss us. While you're standing there for just a minute while Atlee's coming, ask yourself the question, Lord, what am I doing for Jesus? Lord, the days are hurrying by, the months are hurrying by, the years are going by. Dear God, what am I doing for Jesus? Am I just procrastinating, saying tomorrow, after a while, sometimes next year, by and by? Am I doing that?
Or am I really genuinely doing something for the cause of Christ Jesus? Oh, folks, if you could understand, if you could see this beautiful thing that's in my heart, if you could see this wonderful glory, this wonderful, glorious thing, and the way that it really is, and if you could, you know how that you enjoy life, if you could really get into the spirit of life, into the real life, the abundance of living, my, you'd realize what a drab side of the world that you've been living on. You'd realize what a poor excuse of life that is that you've been referring to as life. Oh, you just don't understand, but it's for you. You can understand, but you've got to apply yourselves. So tonight, think about it. Think about it. As our brother comes, think about it.